Hello, everyone. Welcome to Minghui Radio, bringing you podcasts of stories relating to the persecution of Falun Gong in China, insights and experiences gained by practitioners during the course of their cultivation, special items of interest, and music composed and performed by DAFA practitioners. In today's podcast, we bring you an experience-sharing article from the 9th China Fahui on Minghui.org entitled "New Practitioner, Medical Professor Has a Predestined Relationship with DAFA" by a Falun Gong practitioner from China.
Minghui Fahui, New Practitioner, Medical Professor Has a Predestined Relationship with DAFA by a Falun Gong practitioner from mainland China. I am a new practitioner who obtained DAFA on April 11, 2012. I have been working on this sharing article for a while. The reason I have not submitted it was because I felt something was not appropriate. Today, when I read it again, I suddenly realized that it showed my attachments in the first part, so I revised it and would like to share it with fellow practitioners. Please point out anything inappropriate. Heshir. Believing in Buddhism for many years, but ultimate predestined relationship with DAFA. I believed in Buddhism and thought that I had been following the enlightened Buddhist principles in my daily life and work. However, I was often confused and ran into conflicting situations. Under this circumstance, I obtained Chuan Falun. When I was 12 years old, I saw the celestial maidens scattering flowers towards me. Ever since, I felt that I knew someone in the heavens. When I was 25, once when I was half asleep, I saw Bodhisattva Guanyin standing by my door looking at me. I was married that year. I started believing in Buddhism when I was 26 and often read the Buddhist scriptures. That was 20 years ago. That year, I met somebody with supernormal abilities. He taught me meditation. After meditating for 2 months, I could see the fetus in my body. I was 5 months pregnant at that time. Sometimes while meditating, I would fall asleep. Sometimes when I lay down, I felt that I had gong. Later, because my child was little and required a lot of my attention, I didn't meditate consistently. When my son was 3 years old, he became severely ill. No doctor could tell what was wrong. When I was about to give up, I fell asleep next to him. All of a sudden, I was awakened by a bright light. I opened my eyes and saw Bodhisattva Guanyin. This time, she was even taller than last time. I looked at my son. He was sound asleep. When he woke up, his illness was gone. After that, I started worshipping Bodhisattva Guanyin. In 1999, I felt great pressure for no obvious reason. I felt I just wanted to go back to my own home. I often looked at the sky and called out in my heart, "Please let me go home. I do not want to stay in the human world." At night, I often dreamed that I had friends in the heavens. They flew to the east to do things and stopped by my place for about 30 minutes. Once I dreamt that I was in the air and saw my young child and his father standing on the ground helplessly. I felt the child would be so sad if I left, and so I went back to him. 5 years later, I still felt the same pressure. Just then, my sister called me and told me that she knew a fortune teller that could tell accurate fortunes. I went there and foolishly started worshipping something she asked me to. At that time, I had 5 Buddha statues at home. Whenever I had something, I would talk to that thing the fortune teller gave me. Although I kept doing this, the feeling of heaviness did not go away. I kept feeling something wasn't right, but I couldn't tell where or what. I felt a tightness in my body and felt tired all the time. I suffered from anemia and insomnia. In 2009, I met an acupuncturist and started a 2-year-long course of acupuncture treatment. It helped alleviate the symptoms. Acupuncture indeed helped me. However, sometimes the diseases would come back again, and I had to go back for more treatments. I felt as though I could never leave the acupuncturist. On April 11, 2012, I went to a friend's house because I knew she was a Falun Gong practitioner. In fact, back in 2009, she had recommended DAFA to me. At that time, I thought that, since I was cultivating Buddhism, I should not casually switch. So I didn't talk to her in depth. After the Chinese New Year in 2012, I had a strong urge to go see her. Because she was traveling, I didn't get to meet her until April 11. I went to her house that night and asked many questions. She smiled, as if she knew I would ask her such questions someday. She said, "I'll give you a book, and the answers to all of your questions are there." Thus, I obtained the precious book, Juan Falun. The same night, I found the answers I had been yearning for. The next morning, I cleared away the spirit objects, books, and other such things from my house, and I immediately felt relieved. I hadn't felt this way for 20 years, especially the mental relief. I finished reading Juan Falun and felt as if a lonely and lost child had finally found her way back to home and family. That night, I stood in front of Master's photo and said, "I want to be a Dafa disciple. Although I woke up late, I will cultivate diligently." The friend had to move away, and she left the city where I live. I started doing the three things, studying the Fa, sending forth righteous thoughts, and clarifying the facts. I feel like an elementary school student. As I cultivated more, I realized, in order to become a real Dafa disciple, I must cultivate steadfastly, eliminating the brainwashing center at home. My environment is somewhat unique because some of my family members are directly participating in the CCP's efforts to maintain stability in society. But I did not want to hide the fact that I had started practicing Falun Gong. So 3 days after I began practicing, I announced it to the family. At first, my family thought I was merely talking about it. However, after 3 months, they found out that I was truly cultivating and they began paying attention. It also happened that at that time, my son was coming home for his school break. Just before he came back, my husband called me and warned me, "Do not let our son know that you are practicing Falun Gong. I don't want to argue with you. That's why I called you." I realized that this was a test for me. I said to him calmly, "Our son is an adult now. He has the right to know and choose what's good." My husband said, "Whether he knows or chooses, I don't care, but at least don't let him get something from you." I said, "I know what I should do, and I will consider your suggestion." My husband misunderstood and thought that I had accepted his warning. I then started thinking about how to clarify the facts to my son. 8 nights later, after dinner, we sat on the sofa and the discussion began. My son said, "Mom, are you practicing Falun Gong?" Since I had been listening to Master's Guangzhou lectures every night, he obviously realized it. I said, "Yes." My husband rolled his eyes at me snappishly. My son continued to ask, "Why do you practice Falun Gong?" I said, "I want to improve my Xinqing. First, I want to become a good person, and eventually I will cultivate to godhood." My husband interrupted me and started his brainwashing process. When he talked about staged Tiananmen self-immolation incident, I raised my voice. My husband responded, "You are practicing Falun Dafa. How come you can't be tolerant?" So I adjusted my tone, but my husband couldn't control himself anymore. He pounded the table and shouted at me, pointing at my nose, "The party gives me food. It's good. In any case, you cannot practice anymore. I don't feel good when you practice." My son also got emotional. "Do not even mention the self-immolation incident. When it happened, I was in elementary school. I had nightmares for 3 nights because of it." I did not know what to say, so I started sending forth righteous thoughts. Within a minute, my husband did not seem so angry. He said, "I can't bear this. I need to go take a walk." After he left, my son asked me, "Why do you say that the Tiananmen self-immolation incident was staged?" I said, "Come over here and let me show you something." So I showed him the movie. He did not say anything after watching it. The argument went on from 6 until after 10 p.m., and I was exhausted. In the morning, I got up, and after I walked several steps, I suddenly felt a column going through me from my head down. On the column, there were 3 large words: truthfulness, compassion, forbearance. I felt very strong. I realized that Master was strengthening and encouraging me. I thought, wouldn't that be great if every cell in my body was full of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance? After that thought, momentarily, this column shot out the words truthfulness, compassion, forbearance. In the morning, I kept thinking about how to get my son to accept DAFA. I suddenly had an idea. When I went to work, he was still asleep, so I wrote the page numbers in Juan Falun to address each of his questions every day. I also left some encouraging notes for him. When I came back from work, I asked, "Have you seen my notes?" He said, "Yes." I asked, "Have you found your answers?" He still only responded with one word, "Yes." I used this approach to direct him to read Juan Falun. Several days prior to his return to school, he agreed to withdraw from the Chinese Communist Party, the CCP. One night, a month later, at 7 p.m., my husband began to curse DAFA and Master for no reason, and he yelled for over half an hour. This time, I was very calm and went to a different room to send forth righteous thoughts. In other dimensions, the evil was strong. Sometimes my righteous thoughts were interrupted. I then began reading Juan Falun. It really worked. After a while, he seemed weaker. He attempted to approach me to scold me, but when he got close to my room, he was afraid of coming in. My husband now does not get into these moods anymore. Clarifying the facts wisely and benevolently at work. Master tells us to clarify the facts with wisdom and compassion. I thought, in my environment, there are many intellectuals. What's the most appropriate way to clarify the facts to them? I thought about using thumb drives, so I bought 100 2-gigabyte USB flash drives. I asked fellow practitioners to download truth clarification materials to the flash drives. I clarify the facts to my relatives, classmates, and colleagues. First, I analyzed the extent he or she could accept, and then gave them the tailored version. I often issued more than 10 USB flash drives at once. At my workplace, 6 leaders out of 7 have used the software to break through the internet blockade and read the truth every day. Now, people in my office all understand the truth and consciously follow the principles of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance. Once, when a coworker had a conflict with another person in the office and was complaining to me about it, I said, "Don't be this angry. Aren't you giving your virtue away?" He suddenly realized what was going on. From then on, everybody in my office remembers that if others give us virtue, we should always accept it instead of pushing it away. Master asks us to clarify the facts with wisdom and benevolence, and I fully realize this. There are two kinds of people I meet at work. One kind are those who have serious conflicts with me. Another kind are very stubborn ones. I did not want to speak to the first kind. For the latter, I could not easily persuade them, so I did not want to talk to them. This thought came out during the day. At night, when I studied Master's Fa lecture to the Australian practitioners, I felt very ashamed. Isn't this referring to me? Later, I thought of all different kinds of approaches and finally persuaded a female division manager to withdraw from the CCP. We also became good friends. My stubborn husband is changing too. Teacher's Day was coming. On that day, a student I had helped came to visit me in my office and wished me a happy holiday. After he had left, I found he had put a gift card on my desk. I immediately called him. He probably knew I would look for him, so he didn't pick up the call. The next day, I wrote him a letter and sent it and the gift card back to him. Soon I received the student's text message. "Thank you, teacher. DAFA melodies keep giving me energy and cleansing me. Every day, I play them in the office, and they naturally help me clarify the facts." Once I was playing the Shunyun music CD in my office when a colleague came in. As he was talking to me, he stared at the Shunyun song lyrics and asked, "The lyrics are so good. Can I please listen to it?" I said, "This is a Falun Gong song. I can give it to you." I gave him the song, "We Tell the Future." Another time, somebody came over and was attracted by Guzhen music and said, "You have great taste. What music is this?" I said, "This is Falun Gong music." He said, "Ah, Falun Gong has music. This is so nice. Can you please give it to me?" My office is full of energy from DAFA's music every day. Colleagues are being cleansed by it and work happily. The people on my floor all know the truth now. Looking for attachments, eliminating the attachments, and cultivating diligently. The key to cultivating is to eliminate one's attachments. For the attachments on the human level, as long as one is determined to get rid of them, they will be easy to relinquish. However, when encountering specific things, sometimes it's easy to overlook the attachments, especially the ones that are hidden deeply, which makes them hard to get rid of. I asked myself, do I want to be a god or a human? I recited Master's Fa. In this way, I eliminate the deeply hidden attachments that are exposed. Since I am a professor in a medical university, I am more knowledgeable than the average person about diseases. Not too long ago, I had eczema on my neck. At first, I absent-mindedly put some medicine on it. It got better after several days. However, it came back again. This time, I suddenly remembered what Master says about sickness karma, so I immediately removed the medicine. But I couldn't stand it and felt it become larger, so I applied a little bit of medicine. Just like that, it didn't get worse and it didn't get better. I looked in the mirror and said, I won't try to treat it anymore. If this is karma, I will let it get eliminated. Afterwards, I read the section in Juan Falun about Buddha nature and melted into the Fa principles completely. Suddenly, I felt a layer of things had been taken away from my neck. I looked at the mirror right away and saw the red eczema had disappeared with only a mark remaining. Although I felt I had a deep understanding, I still did not completely eliminate my notion of sickness. Recently, I went with a relative to get a foot treatment. I took off my shoes and asked the doctor to see if I had any corns on my feet. The doctor said it was not a severe one and that it could be treated with a plaster for a week. I accepted it without even thinking about it. The next day, I went on the Minghui website and saw an article about a fellow practitioner eliminating sickness karma. I learned from it and realized that sickness is a substance outside of the primordial spirit and is caused by karma. As long as we do not follow the old forces arrangement, Master will help us. I immediately removed the plaster and suddenly felt that a cloud of things was removed from above my head. I felt a warm current in my heart and felt Master's benevolence and felt Dafa's mighty virtue. As long as we actively strive to eliminate attachments, Dafa disciples are in a good state. Not too long ago, while we were sharing at a fellow practitioner's house, we talked about being diligent in cultivation and eliminating attachments. She said, the root of this attachment is time. It is our attachment to time. I did not know if what we understood was right. In a moment, Master Sfashin came and smiled at us. I said to the practitioner friend happily, Master approved. As Dafa disciples, doing the three things is our mission. However, because we live in the ordinary human world, we should demonstrate truthfulness, compassion, forbearance in our daily lives and cultivate diligently. Now that we are Dafa disciples, we should be clear-minded and diligent. Only if we practice steadfastly will we be able to advance further on our cultivation path.
Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.